David Dujanovic. David Dujanovic.
I just caught this story in the Salt Lake Tribune. Greg Skorda sent today for Dave Noriega. Very familiar with what has been going on at the University of Utah with on-campus protests about the Israel-Hamas war and the deaths in the Gaza Strip. Well, the Tribune reporting that the University of Utah faculty are demanding now, and there's 120 faculty members that the Trib says have signed a petition. They're demanding that future student protests not be met with police violence. And this comes after officers, of course, we're talking all week long in riot gear, Greg, are showing up at the University of Utah, staging at the University of Utah. And this all begins on Monday night, a week or so after the protests around the nation had begun, and several people were arrested. And it looked to me, like watching the videos unfold up there, that it became mayhem up there. What do you think about this latest development?
You know, you would think that the University of Utah, and we haven't seen the level of aggression by law enforcement there that we have in other universities. I mean, we're watching some video right now, UCLA, where they're literally tearing down barriers. And so it's becoming a more physical confrontation. We haven't seen that at the University of Utah. So I'm a little bit surprised by the pushback by faculty, but maybe they're trying to avoid what's happening at some of these other universities from happening here. We've heard, Debbie, that there have been nationwide over 2,000 arrests at 40 universities over this matter. And it was only a matter of time before it came to Utah. It was only a matter of time before it came to the University of Utah, and Salt Lake police and university police were going to be called on to at least have some reaction to it.
Here's just a small snippet of what we saw unfold up there. And you and I talked about this earlier in the week. The change in the moment and how this became a bigger deal and it escalated was over the tents that got pitched at 11 o'clock at night that night. That's when police move in. I really felt strongly that if this is just over pitching tents, but then there was some pushback to me that saying, look, they look like these protesters were going to be staying for a while, that they were bringing in supplies and that maybe things would escalate even more. I wasn't all in on the fact that it was just an encampment up there that caused this police response, Greg.
And I think these universities, including the University of Utah, have to decide, Debbie, where you draw the line. I mean, peaceful protest, if you're up there at President's Circle and you're walking around with signs and others are allowed to walk past you and go to their classes and do things that are otherwise they would do at the campus, that's one thing. But if you're preventing students from getting from point A to point B, if you're occupying a building like has happened at some other universities.
Not here, though.
Right. Exactly right. The camping part, I can kind of understand. Like, don't pitch a tent at the University of Utah. I mean,
But it's 11 o'clock at night. I mean, I would feel differently about this. It was 11 o'clock in the morning and students couldn't get to class. And there's actually, you know, we do have, what is it, Title VI? I can't remember off the top of my head, of the Civil Rights Act. You cannot impede people from going to class, and you can't make students feel unsafe on campus. I just have a hard time thinking 11 o'clock at night at President's Circle that was going on. It clearly wasn't. They're not holding classes then. Now, if they'd stayed overnight and they were getting faces of students, that's a whole different story. If they had breached buildings, if they were occupying President Randall's office, but that didn't happen, Greg.
So what you're saying is a modest police presence to keep the peace.
Well, surround the buildings if you're worried they're going to breach the buildings.
You could live with
that. Yeah, I could live with that. But then, you know, the protesters they haven't picked up their tents and gone home by 6 o'clock in the morning. But we had, of course, you know, many were arrested. I think 20. Next morning, our Adam Small was up there at President's Circle, and his report to us was, doesn't look like anything happened up here. Totally cleaned up. Now, I'm assuming that's because they did so by force.
Must have done its job correctly.
I just thought it was a horrible look.
That'd be my take on that.
I just thought it was a horrible look. But here's what the faculty up there are asking. And it's like I said, it's not one or two, it's 120. They ask that police officers not be present at any peaceful protests at the U from now on.
Well, that's a stretch. I would not even be present. Agree. I mean, what's wrong with a police presence at a protest? I mean, if you're talking about public safety, if you're talking about just the presence itself, and I work with police a lot, but just the presence at a public protest might keep it as a peaceful protest. Just the presence of police officers. And I'm not saying in full on SWAT gear with the shields and you know, guns or whatever. That's over the top. But police presence, having officers there, walking around, talking to the kids, making sure that there's nothing, nobody's impeded, nobody's hurting somebody. I don't know that there's a problem with that.
I thought, of course, graduation was last night. I know in the past, I haven't looked it up. They do smaller graduation ceremonies at different times for different colleges up there.
Each college has its own, right?
Yeah, which I wish all the graduation ceremonies that I went to were smaller up at the U. No offense. Those are just...
It's a big school.
Right. Yeah, it's a big school and it would go on forever. I thought that... Now, my thinking is this, that school is going to be out, you know, now because of graduation, mostly. I mean, I'm sure there's some summer school classes. I know there's summer school classes because I took them when I was in college. You go to summer school. Yeah, my daughter takes them too. Some of those are online. I thought that these would be winding down. I know last night there were some protests as well. Just since you're an attorney here in Utah and you know the law so well, I mean, unless these protesters start beating up on police or something like that, what laws are they breaking? And, you know, can't camp on a lawn law?
That's one. And that's a local ordinance within the University of Utah is the no camping ordinance. That misdemeanors, disorderly conduct, if they're making a lot of noise and making it impossible for people to get around, you could have a riot if they're actually doing that. I mean, these are all misdemeanors. And somebody, you know, throwing a can at a police officer, that's assault on a peace officer. That's going to be more serious. So there are crimes that could be committed here. There are crimes that are allegedly being committed. We've had people get cited and people are going to be charged based on what's happening at the University of Utah. Mostly misdemeanor offenses. Hopefully, and really, I think, Debbie, it's an opportunity for police to take somebody out of that environment. You're under arrest. I'm going to take you. I'm going to go book you at the jail, take 5 minutes, and then I'm going to turn you loose. Then you're not at the campus raising heck anymore. You know what I mean? So I do think there's some benefit to some of these minor citations just to quell the problem.
Well, we had Rabbi Zippel speaking on behalf of the Jewish community on the air with us yesterday as we talked about this. And I thought he laid it out really, really, really well that, you know, if kids of Jewish faith feel unsafe up there, students at Phillips say absolutely not. And the feeling is that some of them did feel unsafe. You're crossing a line. I would agree with them. If it's a peaceful protest and they're protesting the, you know, the mass deaths that are going on in the Gaza Strip and the no end in sight, up to this war between Israel and Hamas, I followed up on that as well. I think there's room for that kind of protest. That's what we do in America is we protest what we feel are wrongs that are being done even around the world. There has been a lot made about the fact that many of these people who are protesting on campus are not students. I didn't think that was a big deal. I don't think that's a big deal, but hold your thought, Greg. We're going to talk about that next, and we're also going to get an update on what's going on across the nation with campus protests from News Nation Live.
The KSL Giveathon. Be a smile maker for the kids at Primary Children's Hospital.
I love it when it's Giveathon time. It's such an important time here at KSL News Radio and for the entire community. And I want you to meet Liz. In fifth grade, she moved. She had to start over making friends. Oh, that's so hard. And it was giving her panic attacks.
My name is Kyla. I am mother to three. Liz is my middle child, 17. She is the most kind-hearted child. She has a wicked sense of humor, quick-witted, and talented. The way she can express herself through art is pretty incredible.
When I was seven, so second grade, we moved from Nevada to Utah. That was a very hard thing for me, but things did not really pick up until fifth grade when we moved to this house, and I lost all of my elementary school friends.
The chaos of junior high just made everything come forward for her.
And at that point, I was first kind of coming into school avoidance and anxiety. I don't want to do this. I'm tired of being different than all the other kids.
She was missing school constantly. She struggled every day to go. She would have a full-blown panic attack, running through the house, hitting herself in the head. I can't do this. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. After we had about the third one of those panic attacks, I knew we had to get some help.
With Primary Children's Behavioral Health, we really believe in the importance of getting kids to the right treatment at the right time in the right place.
I contacted the behavioral health unit. The initial contact up there was with Dr. Kaplan, and she was just so welcoming.
She talked to me like an adult, which I really liked.
A lot of the therapy is teaching parents how to cope because we need it, and having those tools was huge.
It has led me up to a point where I'm very happy, and I'm really, really proud of myself. I feel very fulfilled.
She's doing great. She's on track to graduate. She's talking about a future. She's talking about things she wants to do when she's grown. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I would just tell anybody that is struggling, if you have the ability to get up there, do it, because they are caring, they're kind, they're not going to judge you for where you've been. It was an absolute lifeline for us. I mean, they saved my kid, and that's something I could never repay. It's gonna be a bright,
and happy to report, with the help of therapy through Primary Children's, Liz has regained her happiness. So here's what I need you to do. Donate now by visiting kslkids.com, or here's another option. You can text the word SMILE to 57500.
Dave and Dujanovic, special coverage of the top national story.
In a moment, we're going to be live with News Nation. They're going to give us an overview of what is going on around the nation with the campus protests as we head into yet another weekend. Just wild protests going on all over the country, including right here in Utah, where a number of people were arrested after a protest on Monday night.
I walked out and several other students did, just to make it clear that we do not stand with Taylor Randall. We do not stand with his lack of support for his students.
And continued in some ways last night during the graduation ceremony, Greg Scordis, and today for Dave Noriega. That was Amanda Azar telling KSL 5 television she walked out during President Randall's speech last night.
Yeah, and it was only a matter of time, Debbie, before these protests came to the University of Utah. We were all apprehensive and sort of watching closely how the university administration was going to react, how law enforcement was going to react, and how the students were going to behave, because it's run the whole gamut around this, around the country, from police in full riot gear at some universities to, hey, let's just let it go until it gets out of hand at other universities. And every school and every law enforcement agency is trying to balance, what do we do? How do we keep this at the peaceful protest level and prevent it from getting to much more?
Rich McHugh with News Nation live on the line. I'm looking right now. It looks as though it's in, many news organizations, Rich, reporting that 2,000 people have now been arrested. What do you have an update for us?
That's right. And another, let's see, I think it was 14 at NYU this morning and 42 at the New School. That was just this morning. I was at both Columbia and the new, and NYU this morning. At NYU, when the actual police came in and took down the encampment and arrested these folks, it's just it's spreading all over New York City. Although it's quieted down today, and Columbia is a bit quiet. It was a crazy week up there. I'll say that, especially Tuesday night.
Rich, we have seen a lot of different reaction by law enforcement and by university administration. What seems to be the most effective, or what have you seen that has worked out, if anything, or are these just haphazard, what's happening at some of these universities?
Well, you know, I've been covering this now for 3 weeks. I've been at Columbia for 3 weeks, and what wasn't working was what they were doing. Like, what they initially did was they brought in the police, arrested a bunch of people, and then the encampment got built back up again immediately. They didn't secure the school, and then Columbia basically ceded to their demands. They made a statement that we're not going to bring the police back in. We've heard you. We've heard the faculty, and we're not going to do that again. And so they painted themselves into a corner. But now, you know, after the protesters broke into Hamilton Hall, and then the NYPD, and then they finally called the NYPD back in, and then they secured the school. They arrested the protesters. you know, we found that 29% of them, the NYPD found that 29% of them at Columbia, and I think about close to 60% at CUNY were not students, meaning they were outside agitators, I guess you could call it. And that's something that the NYPD has been warning all along, and here it is confirmed. Some of these people have lengthy criminal records, or you know, history of agitation, you know, in the past 15 years.
Rich McHugh of News Nation, thanks for jumping on the line with us. We'll let you go. We know you're covering that story, and we'll keep us updated here as well at KSL News Radio out of New York. That's Rich McHugh with News Nation. He pointed out the outside agitators. We talked about that briefly.
Yeah, you had a little bit different take than I did. I thought that were not students, look, maybe not as sympathetic.
If you're going to peacefully protest on public property, I have no issue whatsoever
whether you're a
paying student or not. That'd be like saying, oh, you can't protest on the steps of the Capitol unless you know, work for the governor's office or you're a lawmaker. I mean, I see protests all the time, and it went to Arizona State University back in the day. We had protests. I don't know how many were actual students. It was a huge campus.
But what do you make of Rich's comments that some of these are people with criminal histories, that they're really just there to agitate?
Are they committing a crime on the scene? Look, we always talk about, well, you know, we shouldn't. What are we going to do with people with criminal histories? They're walking out all over our community. You can't say get off the sidewalk because you, you know, committed a bank robbery 10 years ago. We don't do that.
I think the notion is, though, Debbie, that some of these people aren't really cared much about the protest itself. They just want to go, you know, raise Cain.
They want to go, well, and if they cross the line and they break into buildings, it's a totally different story. I'm not advocating for any of those folks at all. But what I am saying is that if you aren't involved in anything other than, you know, if you're just up there to peacefully protest, I have no issues with that. I don't care if you pitch a tent. And by the way,
or if you're a student.
If you're a student, I'm a parent who's paid exorbitant tuition fees for her daughter to go to the University of Utah. I'm also been a taxpayer in this state.
And you would support her peacefully protesting?
Absolutely, I would.
Even if she wasn't in class.
My kids know. I mean, I raised them this way.
Right.
There is a very, very bright line.
Right.
You know, if you want to peacefully protest, look, I've been an advocate of the First Amendment.
Your
since
whole career.
My whole career. I'm a news reporter. Right. I don't want any government interference in telling me what I need to report, what I need to do. Now, if I was out there committing crimes, running around, you know, breaking into people's homes to get interviews, of course I would be hauled off to jail and fired. That's different. I have no issue. The University of Utah faculty, 120 members now signing this petition asking that law enforcement stay away from the peaceful protests. We'll see how that shakes out throughout the day right here at KSL News Radio.